to the Roma Press Podcast with John Solano.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Roma Press Podcast. I hope you are all doing very, very well. This is an extremely long episode. I believe when I'm done editing it, it should be just about an hour and 10 minutes, give or take, maybe a little less, but very long episode because Andy and I discussed our top five flops of the American era at Roma. So it made for some interesting debates, some interesting talking points. I think a lot of you who sent me on Twitter your list of your top five flops, it really helped me sort of, because I had a list about 10 to 15. So when I saw your input, it actually helped me narrow down my list because, frankly, I thought there were just so many that could have been mentioned. It was really hard to narrow it down. So thank you, everyone who participated on Twitter in sending me your list. So we wanted to take a bit of a break from the normal transfer market news, the rumors, the press conferences. We get to that towards the end with, I would say, right around the 45-minute mark, give or take. That's where we discuss sort of the latest news. But up until then, Andy and I, we discuss each of our top five flops of the Palotta era at Roma. So before I bring Andy on, I have to mention our latest patron at Patreon, Greg, who you can find on Instagram at GSTEIF. Again, Greg, you can find on Instagram at GSTEIF. Greg, thank you so much for your support. If you would like to join Greg and get early access to the podcast, extra episodes of the podcast, you can go to the support tab at the top of romapress.net or go to patreon.com/romapress. So without any further ado, let me bring Andy on as he and I discuss the hotly contested top five flops of the American era at Roma. So here is Andy now. All right, Andy is back with me now. So, Andy, we put out a plea to everybody to send us their list of their top five flops of the American era for Roma. Now, we'll get to the latest news in a little bit, but I wanted to get to this first because everybody seems to have been rehashing some bad memories of some of the just terrible operations Roma have made on the market. So what I wanted to do is you and I, we'll do this like we're picking a five-a-side team. You'll pick a player, I'll pick a player. I don't want us to choose the same ones just because
makes sense. Sure.
Makes it funner this way. So let's start. Let's start with our five flops over the past decade or so at Roma. So since I'm the elder statesman, I will let you go first.
Thank you. I will start with a very new acquisition, which unfortunately is already in the books, in my opinion, as one of the major flops. It's Olsen. It's Olsen, and it's Olsen because, a lot of people, when I saw the lists people were making, they were looking at different aspects. When it comes to Olsen, I look at what his duty was, and his duty was to replace Alisson, and we knew this was going to be probably the hardest thing for a goalkeeper to do. But Olsen just fell flat and short of any sort of expectations, and just couldn't win that role. He couldn't win over the crowd, couldn't secure a position against a goalkeeper like Mirante, who's not a phenomenon. So my number five on the list is Olsen.
Now, everybody was, as I said, a lot of people were sending us our lists. And the one thing I found interesting, and I'd be curious to hear your opinion on this, how much does price play into your factoring? Because for me, it's one of the most important. Like, I saw people putting Michel Bastos on the list. And right. I'm like, okay, well, he arrived on a short loan, more or less free. I mean, for me, I think it matters a lot, but maybe it doesn't for you. Are you strictly performance-based? Doesn't matter how much they arrive
well,
for.
Well, listen, I mean, I saw somebody put Grenier's name on that. Grenier, I don't, for example, that's a name that I don't look at because the guy was brought in basically as a stand-in. No expectations. It was actually a surprise signing. I remember when the pictures of him at the airport came out, nobody had any idea of him arriving at Roma. And that was, for example, a signing that just wasn't meant to have any sort of impact at Roma. Same with, I don't know, off the top of my head, I can say Jonathan Silva last year. Very, very similar signing. Appeared, what, in two games? One for a full 90 minutes, the other one for 20 minutes. I think that was it. That was his Roma career. So I don't look at that. I think I look at expectations. You know, I look at how popular the signing it is. What is the competition for that signing? But as you said, I mean, Bastos, even the likes of Spalletti, you know, how can anyone describe Spalletti as a flop if Spalletti's role wasn't going to be substantial ever?
With that in mind, my number five, the man, the myth, the legend, Victor Ibarbo. Wow. I remember when he and Dumbia arrived in that winter window when Roma were really struggling, 2014-2015 season. I thought him and Dumbia arriving were just two massive, massive purchases. And I thought, oh my gosh. Roma are going to get out of their slump. They're going to challenge Juve in the spring for the Scudetto. Wow. I don't think it could have gone worse for him. I looked at the numbers. So I took these from Roma's official website. So Roma paid 2.5 million euros for the loan. They had the option to buy for 12.5 million, which they exercised. He made 13 appearances, 0 goals, 1 assist. And he also played every single match, I think, with that stupid popped collar that made me want to smack his bald head every single time I saw him took the pitch. He, for me, when you think of the word flop, I mean, Ibarbo's picture should, you know, Ibarbo's face with the bald head should be taking place of the O in the word flop. I mean, he's a flop. I thought he was terrible.
Yeah, he was a flop, but let's remember that one assist, when it came from, and who was on the receiving end of that assist.
The receiver of that assist, I'm sure one of us will pick him. So I'll let you go next.
Next, I will definitely say Bruno Perez. Bruno Perez, without question, one. I know you're a big fan of his.
yeah, huge fan, long time.
Bruno, you know, it's that is, to me, you said Ibarbo is a flop. To me, Bruno Perez is an even bigger flop, because with Bruno Perez, the expectations were through the roof. You had a fullback that was not afraid to go forward. Everybody, when you thought of Bruno Perez, you immediately thought of his coast-to-coast goal against Juventus, right? That you thought of the Bruno Perez that, mind you, Giampiero Ventura helped shape into one of the apparently best fullbacks in Serie A. He came here, was, you know, massive publicity, and everybody seemed to be happy about Bruno Perez. And he showed up, and he showed out, made no impact, actually made a lot of negative memories, perhaps except for the saving touch against Shakhtar Donetsk. But aside from that, this was a huge disappointment. Did not deliver under Spalletti, did not deliver under Di Francesco, actually made the Florenzi looked decent as a fullback, which is something that I don't know. I don't think many people can say about other fullbacks. It's, to me, that was, and he could not contribute neither defensively nor offensively. I don't even care about, I don't even want to go see his figures, what the figures were. I may be wrong, but I think he got, what, 2 goals with our shirt. Not sure about the assists, but he did not deliver. And I think people right now see him as a meme, but the guy, when we signed him, was considered one of the very best in the league.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember all your tweets about him. I remember how you were just going berserk, game in, game out about
honestly,
him.
Honestly, that coast-to-coast goal that he had against Juventus was the worst thing that could have ever happened to him. The worst.
Yes, I agree with you.
It was a blessing yet a curse, because after that goal, everybody destined him as the next insert historic player. I was so excited because I honestly thought under Spalletti, I thought he would be absolutely incredible. I mean, didn't everybody?
Remember, one of the worst games of recent years of him is the one against Atletico Madrid, when, thank God, you know, we basically had it wrapped up in the Champions League group. So that was a game you could afford to lose. But nonetheless, I mean, he got a red card in that game, got blasted by his national teammate, Felipe Luis, got completely destroyed every single time. And then just went off with a red card, I think, at the 60th minute. So it was just embarrassing, an embarrassing player.
Well, we'll go from that Brazilian to another one who left this summer. I mean, for me, we have to mention the guy who wore the 10 shirt, even though they had the picture of him holding it in the darkest room imaginable, yes. And you couldn't see him. Gerson. Roma, when you factor in bonuses, they ended up paying 21 million euros for this guy. Astonishing.
And this was before Neymar. So 21 got you a lot. You know, this wasn't the 21 now that, you know, you can get Sturaro for. That was 21 3 years ago, when 21 got you something special.
I mean, they paid a base price of 16 million euros. As you said, this was when this was before the market blew up with Neymar, and we know who followed after that. 16 million euros a few years ago should have gotten you, especially in the Serie A, should have gotten you a really, really good player. He had 42 appearances, 2 goals, 1 assist, and we both know that those goals came in the same match against Fiorentina. Very beautiful goals, actually. I thought after he scored those, I thought he actually might have had a future at Roma on the wing. But wow, it just wasn't meant to be. Does everybody remember when Spalletti threw him in against Juve away when he first arrived? I mean, Jesus.
Yep.
Remember when that happened? I mean, we were all absolutely stunned when Spalletti threw him into the starting formation. And it went just about as bad as you would imagine, because if you remember, he substituted him off at halftime. Dreadful, absolutely dreadful. Now, I don't want to bury him too much. I mean, he arrived at a young age.
And also, that was a bad move by Spalletti. That was a terrible
move. Yeah. Absolutely. It was almost like he was trying to prove a point to say, you know, hey, we don't have the right, you know, the right people here. So I don't want to bury him too much, just because I do think his story has yet to be fully written. I think he will come back to Europe at some point. He just needed to leave Roma at all costs. So for me, Gerson has to be in the list. Absolutely has to be.
Wow. I have trouble with this, because there's just this endless list, you know. I think it would have to go to the Turkish wonder kid, Salih Ukan.
Because
again, factor in expectations, the popularity. I mean, this kid was getting all sorts of positive reviews. It was supposed to be the next move, he was labeled as the face of the new generation of Turkish players. Came here, had no impact. I think he stayed, 2 years with Roma? And it seemed like nothing happened with him. And now what? Now he went to... Recently, he played at Empoli. Before that, he played in Turkey. They didn't want him there. So, again, false, bad publicity, overhype, and the end product was just miserable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to rehash some of the things that he did. I mean, there's stories out there. Not good. It was a case of another youngster coming far too early. He reminded me a bit of Tin Yedvai, who also had similar nightlife issues, I'll call it, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. Before I make my next pick, I want to do a timeout real quick, because there's a name that is, so a lot of people tweeted us our list or their lists for their biggest flops. And I have to say, so Benjamin Chamacho, he put Destro as number one. And I have to tell you, I am absolutely shocked at the number of people who are putting in Destro in their list. I don't know if you could really consider him a flop, because he had that one sensational season. He had the injury problems afterwards where he turned into a meme because of how fat he got. I have to tell you, I'm going through four or five different lists here, and there he is, Destro. I mean, is he a guy that you would consider a flop?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, Destro had that one season where it seemed like he was the wonder kid. And you know, he was proving to us that he had something special going on for him. Not his fault that later on the injury issues happened. And then it was over, because he just built this terrible image of himself in the face of the fan base. It is well known that he is not respected at all around Trigoria, not well liked by his ex-teammates. So it's a tough pick. I would never put him as number one, because, as you said, he had something going on for him. And, it's unfortunate that, who knows if not for the injuries, right? But the player he became afterwards, that was definitely a flaw. But the player I saw for that one season had all the makings of something special, of a kid that really was talented. And I remember, you know, his the way he worked with Totti and that whole team during that year. It was something special, and I like to see it. And if you look at his statistics, they're not bad at all for how long he was at Roma, for how many times he appeared with the Roma shirt. So I could consider him as a sub in my flop list, but definitely not number one.
Production matters. We could talk about the longevity of the production being an issue and considering him a flop, but man, that one season, and we have to remember that one season where he scored all those goals. I mean, he missed the first few months. I distinctly remember the match he came back against Fiorentina. He had that tap-in goal where the movement he made off the ball to get the goal was sensational. I was shocked when he was sold to Bologna. I thought he was going to blow up there, because I thought he was perfect for the way they played. But my gosh, I mean, you could certainly say he was a flop at Bologna, but at Roma, I would not consider him a flop at all. Since we're making goalkeepers a bit of a theme here, oh, Martin Stekelenburg, where do we begin with him? Listen, when Roma bought him, I was so hyped, because I thought, finally, you know, after the years of all these goalkeepers coming in and out of Roma, who Roma were getting for very cheap or they were getting for free, finally, Roma are spending big on a top-notch stopper. This is going to be great. They have their goalkeeper for the next 5, 6, 7 years. He performed very well in the 2010 World Cup. They got him for 6.3 million euros plus 1.5 in bonus. I thought, not bad. Good piece of business. Here we go. Yikes. 55 appearances, 78 goals conceded, 14 clean sheets, and 0 words of Italian spoken.
Yeah.
This guy was an absolute train wreck. He was okay in the first season under Luis Enrique, but the following season, he was so bad that Zeman went out, and he's not going to make my list because Roma didn't pay a lot for him, but his performances were so bad, it led to Roma going out to purchase one Mauro Goicoechea, who, if you YouTube his match against Cagliari, where he concedes a goal on the corner kick that he has two hands on, and then it somehow slips between them and goes into the back of the net, I mean, if you are...
I recommend to anybody the commentary by Carlo Zampa at that goal.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. That's a good one. I mean, if your performances are that bad that you are unseated by Mauro Goycochea, I'm sorry, you absolutely, unequivocally, 100% belong on my list.
And you know, the funny thing is that I don't even think he acknowledges that chapter in his career. It seems like, you know, because all these ex-Roma players, they often talk and sometimes Roma comes up. After he left, it seemed like this whole experience at Roma never happened for him. Went to the Premier League, stayed average, but it's so weird because I remember when he came on and it seemed like, you know, wow, this foreign goalkeeper, a lot of money, big investment, big prospect, but a proven prospect on a big stage. And then it just did not pan out. It did not pan out. And to me, it's not a chapter of Roma that I want to remember, those days with those two goalkeepers. I think we have to give a nod to Zeman for having the brilliant instinct of going after Goycochea. those were painful days.
Very painful, but I have to tell you, when Roma initially bought him, I was so hyped because, I mean, who were the goalkeepers in the previous seasons? Donny, Giulio Sergio, just guys that didn't really offer anything. Donny had some of his best performances, but does anybody remember his later years at Roma? He was horrible, absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, Roma had... It's weird because we really had a couple of goalkeepers, especially in the first era of Spalletti, who had bursts or short periods of brilliance, of absolute brilliance. I mean, as you said, Donny had moments where he looked like Superman, but then we never had a goalkeeper that was game in and out 100% reliable. And that's why... You know, I said that of Olsen earlier. That's why Olsen, to me, was such a big flop, is that we had gotten used to two goalkeepers, like Szczesny and Alisson, but most importantly, Alisson, who were just absolute stoppers, game in and out, and especially Alisson, who was just this phenomenal beast. Did not get demoralized. You know, he could see the ball going into the back of the net 3 or 4 times. He would still be absolutely perfect the next game. And that at Roma, we are just not accustomed to it. And as you see, look at the history. I mean, Stekelenburg, Goycochea, Olsen, Donny, everybody before that, we never had someone reliable and consistent. And I think that's why these goalkeepers are such flops in our lists.
Okay, who's your next one?
Well, my next one is also a rather recent one, but it's not a big investment because, again, it was on loan. So I think Roma paid like 3 mil or something like that. It was Thomas Vermaelen.
Good call. Yeah, he was bad.
Because of the name, again, because of the name, because he was brought in not to be, because if someone goes now back to that season, watches, you know, his statistics, he would figure that Thomas Vermaelen came in to be a third string bench player, you know, somebody that would come in emergency situations. No, Thomas Vermaelen came in here when Anthony Rudiger went down with a bad injury, was out for months, and we had no center back. And so we had the brilliant idea of going after Thomas Vermaelen, who at Arsenal excelled and was just dominant and a captain and whatever you want to call him. He was just a great leader. Then injuries happened, yes, but we still counted on him to come in here and show what he's worth, right? Because he was at Barcelona, he was unhappy, didn't have a prominent role there. So he was brought in to be a protagonist while Rudiger was out. And remember the first game? Remember what happened against Porto? Jesus, yes. That was, if that is not one of the worst displays of organization, of team mentality, of everything, it was just terrible. And he did everything that he didn't need to do, got sent off. And after that, remember what happened? Fazio was brought in. Fazio became the regular starter. And Vermaelen, yes, through injuries, but also the times he played for us, was not reliable. He would always get embarrassed and exposed.
Awful. Absolutely awful. Just reading through some of the other ones that people have sent us. Lobby says, Monchi, okay, good one. Number one. Itorbin, number two. Dumbia, three. Michael Bradley, four. Bruno Perez, five. Michael Bradley, that's an interesting one.
Let's talk about that, John. I'm eager to hear your opinion.
Yeah, listen. So anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I only do this because I live part-time in the United States. I don't watch, what's it called, MLS or the MLS. I don't watch it when I'm here. You can count on one hand the number of minutes I've watched of any American player. I couldn't tell you anything about them. But every so often, I'll have some fun on Twitter, and I'll Twitter search Michael Bradley Roma. And some of the things that Americans say about Michael Bradley is just so hilarious, because they, you know, oh, Michael Bradley, well, he played at Roma. He was sensational at Roma. They called him the commander. He benched Daniele De Rossi. He was incredible. And I'm just like, what the hell? I mean, are we in an alternate universe? So I'll have some fun with it, and I'll retweet some of these tweets that are very old, by the way. But I just like to do it to have fun, because people are actually under the impression that Michael Bradley at Roma was good. Michael Bradley at Roma had one single defining moment, and everybody knows it. It was 2013-2014 season. I remember the date because I was there in Udine when Roma were down to 10 men. They had that very long winning streak to start the season, right? Remember with Rudy Garcia?
It was special.
Yes. We have Mr. Steroids himself. Douglas Maicon is sent off for a second yellow card. Michael Bradley is brought on, and he saves this winning streak that Roma have. And I believe he extended it to 9 games, because I believe it was the following week where Borriello had that header against Chievo. I could be wrong. But anyway, Michael Bradley scores a goal against Udinese. Roma, with 10 men, win a crucial, crucial match in Udine. That was his only moment. I couldn't tell you any other thing that he did in the Roma shirt. Oh my gosh, he benched Daniele De Rossi. That was Zeman giving De Rossi the middle finger. I mean, Taxidis was starting in the midfield that season as well. And do we remember how terrible he was? Roma's midfield that entire season was awful. I mean, don't you remember Zeman? He also benched Pjanic. Everything in 2012-2013 is just a blur to me. It was terrible. We all know how it ended. For me, the only happy moment in that entire season, I don't know if anybody will remember, but Nico Berdiso had the headed goal against Milan. And his celebration where he kisses the badge was the only, for me, the only moment with anything that entire year. But Michael Bradley, no. Terrible at Roma. I can't believe this is even a debate. One other name I want to bring up, because people shockingly have him a number of times in the list. I mean, I'm just going through the names. Jesus, this is crazy to me. Ashley Cole, I brought him up earlier, but yeah, he was bad, but Roma brought him in on a free transfer. And wasn't he out of the team by like December? I mean, yeah, he was terrible, but
yeah, I mean, when he was brought in, I didn't really have any expectations.
Yeah, neither did I.
Everybody knew that Ashley Cole was absolutely positively finished.
Right.
And I don't even think that's another example of a player who I don't even think acknowledges that he was at Roma. Like, I don't even think that that is a part of his resume. It seems like, I mean, we all remember the iconic photo of the team on the tour, on the summer tour. And Ashley Cole stands,
is leaning in like a weirdo,
just leaning in like a foot away from everybody else, just complete. It seemed like that was a move that of someone who just didn't buy into whatever it was. And I mean, soon enough, he was off to MLS, I think, to become captain over there. But at Roma, that's another example of non-factor. He was brought in to be just an extra body, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I had no expectations for him when he, I mean, when he arrived. I mean, I think the only thing I remember of him is when Roma lost 7-1 to Bayern Munich at home. And he was absolutely torched. I didn't really expect much from him, and he played just as I expected. Hey, real quick, one of the things that I tweeted out when I was asking people to send us their lists, I tweeted out the picture of the hashtag Save It Torbe. Was that one of the most embarrassing moments for Roma supporters within the last handful of years? Because for me, it's right up there.
Yes. And to me, I'm sorry to steal that, but that is going to be my number one. Juan Iturbe is going to be my number one, as well as the Save Iturbe movement, which unified the whole Roma fan base. I think it was one of the few moments where Roma fans of all creeds and all colors came together for a common cause of saving the career of Juan Manuel Iturbe. And man, and the worst thing is that I actually like the guy, and I actually feel terribly sorry for him, especially after that recent interview given by Sabatini, where he basically said that something was broken, something got fractured in Iturbe's leg. I think it was something with the knee, and they did not operate. They chose not to operate. And, you know, we all know that the player was still as brainless as they come, but it's and the way he came on, and I mean, for Christ's sake, we talked about it on the last podcast. Antonio Conte was furious about not getting Iturbe. Iturbe was the thing on the market. Iturbe was the big name. I mean, everybody got their photos with Iturbe and Messi. The comparisons were already there. He was Roma's most expensive signing until Schick. And what followed was nothing. And
Roma supporters more or less bullied Sabatini into keeping him.
Yes, and I mean, they bullied into keeping a guy that then went on to play or not play for Bournemouth and then for Torino. And it seemed like he was just levitating around the world of football, never really having just some continuity. After that episode at Hellas Verona where you know, he would go on these runs and everybody hailed him as the new Messi. After that, it was over for him, and it's still over for him. And to me, it's sad because I remember how hard he tried. Because you cannot say about him that he did not try. That was a player who worked his ass off every time he was on the field. You could see his intentions. You could see he was trying his best. But the result was always the same. He would always misfire. I remember probably the most recent memory of him in a Roma shirt was in his last season under Spalletti against, I think, Astra Giorgio in the Europa League. It was a game that had no meaning whatsoever. Our starting attack was Totti and Iturbe. Totti at 41, Iturbe after a spell of sitting on the bench constantly. And I remember Totti just giving him this perfect, absolutely perfect assist. He was one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and he just he just mistimed his steps and got absolutely lost. He didn't even manage to get a shot off on target. And that's the summary of Juan Manuel Iturbe at Roma. Just a big, big misfire.
My next pick. Now, this one that is one that I won't say it's a hipster pick, but I will say it's a hipster pick just because nobody else put them in their list. And I think people forget how awful he was, like genuinely awful. Now, the cost of him wasn't terrible. Roma, they brought him on loan with option to buy, and they never activated that option. But Ivan Pires,
wow.
Can anybody travel back with me to that season, 2012, 2013? Like I said before, there was nothing good about that season. And Ivan Pires was one of the reasons why there was nothing good. He was dreadful. I mean, I don't know if this is an insult to Florenzi or not, but he is a poor man's Alessandro Florenzi at right back. Pires was awful, garbage, terrible. He couldn't do anything. There was a moment when Andrea Zoli came in and he put him as a central defender at three at the back because Roma had nobody else. He was awful. I don't even know where he plays now. Probably with those Finnish firemen.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, he's probably playing in some random league. I couldn't tell you what happened to him.
Maybe we'll stumble upon him in the Europa League. Who knows?
Yeah, hey, maybe. I just remember after Roma, he played at Udinese, didn't do anything there. Holy shit, he was so bad. 32 appearances, 5 assists, didn't score a goal. But defensively, I think people forget just how bad he was. In his place, I was close to putting Mario Rui. I was surprised at the number of people who had him. Obviously, Roma paid a pretty hefty fee for him. It was 9 million euros plus 1.5 million in bonus. For me, though, I mean, can you really blame him? Because he was injured. I don't know if I would necessarily ask.
I was actually thinking about that name, and I'm thinking of putting it on my list. But as you said, he was injured. But at the same time, whenever he was then played, he showed no interest in being there, showed poor attitude, and then God Almighty, yeah. I absolutely hated how his agent handled his exit from Roma. It was constant whining. I understand that's what you do in calcio mercato, but man, it seemed like we were dealing with Roberto Carlos, and this was just a guy who I think played for like, what, 12 games with us?
9 appearances.
There you go. I remember his, remember that final game, Totti's farewell, Emerson goes down. Now that is, to me, one of the worst moments as a Roma fan because I adored Emerson and that was the end of his Roma career, really. And Mario Rui comes on. What does Mario Rui do? He does everything that you don't do as a fullback in a crucial game. Poor attitude, just terrible, a terrible game. And it was one of the most, probably the most important game of the season. So that left a bitter taste in my mouth. And I would like to call him my other pick as one of the biggest flops. Because let's remember, Mario Rui was, again, one of those weird signings that was labeled as a very skilled fullback at Empoli, and, you know, who was good defensively, reasonably good offensively. And then he showed up at Roma, got injured, and after that never showed any sort of instinct or will to redeem himself in the eyes of the fans. To me, that counts as a flop.
Okay, that's fair. So since we know your first is Iturbe, you just took Mario Rui. I'm going to throw, so I have two left. My first one, I am actually surprised more people didn't have him in their list because while his goal return may not have been that bad, for the expectations that he was brought in for me, when you factor in price as well, huge flop. Boyan. Mr. Wow. Boyan, the new, yes. Lionel Messi.
Another wonder kid, said. Yes.
A little Messi. He arrived at Roma along, he, you know, the protege of Luis Enrique. He's going to be the the new face of Roma. These two Spaniards from Barcelona, they're going to put their stamp on Serie A and remake Roma. Did not happen. For Mr. Boyan, 37 appearances, 7 goals, 1 assist, and Roma paid 12 million euros for him. And we can't forget that. I know this seems like it wasn't so long ago, but 2012, I mean, 12 million euros for Roma, a club like Roma, that's a lot of money. That's absolutely a lot of money. Yeah, Boyan, for me, absolutely has to be in there. I thought he would be sensational under Luis Enrique. I mean, you could even say Luis Enrique was a flop at Roma. Now, he didn't really get the chance to implement his ideas. Probably should have been given more time, but I don't know if people remember how much abuse he was taking. I remember specifically there was one banner that said, if you're a true man, you'll resign. I mean, he had a very difficult time, but I mean, people, I mean, there's another guy.
And he's still very fond of Roma. That's the weird thing, is that he's very, very fond of Roma.
He loves the city, loves the supporters. I mean, I'm going through another person's list. They put Tony Sanabria in there. They put Yuchan, Michel Bastos. I'm going to go to the guy who was the first exclusive interview I ever did, Mr. Seydou Doumbia. Boumbia, as he was so thoughtfully nicknamed upon his arrival. Anybody who played the video game FIFA knew this guy because his speed was like 95 and his finishing was sensational as well. And then when Roma got Ibarbo as well, it was like you were playing with... It was like Roma were playing with this just unfair team and attack. All these guys were so quick. My good friend Boumbia, in his defense, he did not want to move to Roma in January. And I only know this because, as I said, he was the first exclusive interview I did. He and his agent sat down. Well, I say sat down. He and his agent had a call with me for like 10 to 15 minutes. Boumbia did not want to come to Roma in January. He specifically requested to allow him to stay at CSKA Moscow until June. And then at that point, he would move. Sabatini said, that's not okay, not acceptable. I want you to come in January. Otherwise, we will not bring you in the summer. So begrudgingly, he arrived. Roma, for a four and a half year contract that they gave to him, they paid 14.4 million euros plus one and a half.
I feel sick.
Plus 1.5 in bonuses. Awful from the start. There's no hiding it. He was just terrible. Absolutely terrible. He couldn't find the back of the net. He was not fluid in attack like he was when we saw in the Champions League. I mean, I remember watching his goal against Manchester City in the Champions League, and I thought, holy shit, this is the guy Roma got. Finally, Roma paying a huge fee, sort of like how they did for the goalkeeper, paying an important fee for a proper number nine. This is going to be great. He's got speed. He's going to unlock defenses in the Serie A. Nobody's going to be able to sit back because of how quick he is. He's going to break the line. This is going to be great. I specifically remember his headed goal against Sassuolo, and everybody was cheering him. I believe he scored it away. Yeah. The away section started clapping for him, but he held his hands up almost in anger because of how much stick he was getting since he arrived. He was just terrible. He was so bad. And other than a loan spell at the Swiss side Basel, where he scored 20 goals in a season, I mean, he has done nothing really other than the one season in Switzerland. He's done nothing since leaving Roma.
I remember distinctly that trio, but especially Ibarbo and Doumbia, and it was just like a nightmare. And then add to that Iturbe. It was just like a footballing nightmare. I think that is a guy who despised and hated this experience at Roma. This is a guy, Doumbia, he wants nothing to do with Roma.
Hated it.
I remember distinctly when we sent him to Sporting. He never intended to come back to the city, even to just for a few days to see if he can work with the team. Did not want to have anything to do with this team. So, you know, it's funny because the experience, the negative experience, works both ways. Dumbia is undoubtedly one of the flops. And then, you know, this whole thing with Schick. Again, I don't want to label him a flop yet because his time isn't over. And I still don't know if it is over this offseason or will it be over after that. I don't know. But an honorable mention needs to be made, unfortunately, to my guy, Javier Pastore. Whom I love and I adore him. I adore his technical skill, his charisma on the field. That's something that we haven't seen since Pjanic, really. That movement, the way he sees the ball. And, you know, it's not fair to him because, again, injuries, but the expectations, and then especially if you think that he was sort of picked over Ziyech, wow, that is flop material, unfortunately.
Flop material, unfortunately. A couple of other honorable mentions that I had. De Frel, between fee, goal output, unquestionably has to be on there. Listen, for him, he was played out of position. We all know that. Di Francesco put him on the right wing. Never really happened for him. He got injured. He came back. He scored the one penalty goal. But he did well at Sampdoria this past season. I do think he'll join Cagliari. There are some teams following him. And believe it or not, I mean, Roma, because he's amortized for two seasons now, Roma might actually make a small plus valenza on him, which is astonishing because you would not have thought that previous summer by how poorly he performed at Roma. Listen, I think it was a bit unfair the way things happened for him, but he'll be one of those guys who I think does better away from Roma. Some other names that people are putting out there, Andy. Karsdorp, are you labeling him a flop yet?
Yes, I'm pretty close to, because, again, expectations. He was close. He's an honorable mention because expectations. He was brought in, hyped up. I followed him in the Netherlands. I liked what I saw from him. He was really... He dominated that right flank. Was one of the better-looking prospects at the fullback position in the Dutch national team. But it's unfair because then he was brought in with an injury. He was already injured. They knew about it. We did not know about it. Then another injury took place the first game back, and it all started again. And then he just couldn't get into rhythm. So obviously the fee that we pay for him, which I think is around, what, 18 million or 19 million, you know, it was significant, but at the time I thought it was a bargain for the player we were getting, and the idea that, thank God, we are finally getting a proper right back, and it did not happen. And then last season, whenever he had the chance, I thought that was the definition of a flop, that he had showed no attitude, made the same mistakes over and over again, and cost us in some game. I mean, I remember that game against Chievo Verona where we drew 2-2. He was one of the main culprits of that second half comeback from Chievo Verona.
You're absolutely right. A couple of other honorable mentions I had here. Jose Engel. Now, Roma didn't pay a big fee for him, but he was dreadful. And I think that would be putting it lightly. When Luis Enrique first arrived, it was, okay, he's going to bring in this the Spanish contingent of young talent.
And also remember everything that was Spanish was associated with Pep Guardiola and his tiki-taka. And every Italian journalist loved to label Spanish players, Spanish coaches with the tiki-taka thing.
Kier was another one. He was a flop, in my opinion. Now, granted, Roma didn't pay a lot for him, but he was pretty poor. Remember the pairing he and Heinze,
yes, legendary. I mean, that makes look good, the pairing of Marcano and Juan Jesus.
All right, so let's let's get to your number one then. Juan Manuel Iturbe. You already touched upon him briefly, but is there anything more you'd like to add? I feel like this guy gets beaten up a lot, and I think some of it is unfair because, again, you mentioned the injury history. But as you said, Antonio Conte quit Juve when they didn't clinch his signature. He comes to Roma. We have to add, though, now he only managed 5 goals and 5 assists. I feel like the pathetic part is I can name at least 3 or 4 of those goals because he had the important one at Juve. We remember how that match went. It was fixed, we'll say. He had the Champions League goal against CSKA. And then, Andy, from our man Victor Ibarbo, yep, he had the goal against, yes, Lazio in the derby.
Yes.
So while he is, without question, one of the biggest flops in Roma's history, the few goals he did provide were all pretty important.
Again, it's, I get attached to players, but that kid was so bad. He was so terrible. And despite that, I still felt for him. And that's really hard because when I'm a fan, when I just don't see results, when I don't see the hard work paying off, I get upset. But with Iturbe, at the same time, I wanted to strangle him. But at the same time, I wanted to, you know, just put an arm around him and say, you know, it's going to be all right. But because it's terrible what happened to that kid. Because he went from being named one of the biggest talents in the world to basically just bouncing around leagues, bouncing around teams. He went to Torino, made no difference. Went to the Premier League, made no difference. Was close to Lyon, they didn't want him. At the end of the day, this was a kid that went through a lot and just left a terrible legacy, unfortunately. But he never said anything. Never. He was brought in as this big, big talent and then was benched constantly. And he never said anything. Now, obviously, makes money. You can all say that stuff, millionaire, blah, blah, blah. But you cannot tell me that someone who gets so hyped up, gets contacted by all the best teams in circulation, gets signed for a massive fee, is the big name of the summer, and then nothing. And then now he's in Mexico, and I think he just sustained another injury. And so it gets worse and worse. And so I feel for him. That's my number one. And I think in the eyes of most Roma fans or most sane Roma fans by now, that is the number one flop of Jim Pallotta's Roma presidency currently.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think every single list that people sent us, Iturbe was in that list, depending 1-5, it didn't really matter. But he is undoubtedly, unequivocally, without question, one of the biggest flops. Again, I feel like some of it is a bit unfair. As you said, I couldn't have described it better myself. He is, man, you just want to put your arm around the guy and say, man, I feel for you. Don't worry. It'll be okay. Wherever he goes now, he just seems cursed. He's got injury problems. He can't score. It's just a nightmare. And the funny thing is, do you remember how he was at Verona that one season? Him and Luca Toni.
With Luca Toni. Wow.
They were magic. Wow. Absolutely magic.
This young wonder kid with this extremely talented veteran, that was a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, it really was. So there you have it, everybody, our 5 flops. So that was fun.
Yeah, and it was pretty hilarious. It's pretty hilarious.
Well, you know what? It puts things into perspective a bit for me because when I was researching appearances, goals, and all this, I'm going through all of the seasons, and when I see 2011, 2012, 2013, it really does reassure you a bit that, okay, you know what, it could be worse. We could have Mauro Goicoechea in the goal. If there's anything you want to reassure you, it's that the current Roma is nowhere nearly as bad as the one from 2011, 2012, and then 2012, 2013. I think that's the only thing we have right now. So real quick, moving into modern day Roma, they bring in Jordan Veretout. He has his first press conference. He says, yes, Fonseca had a huge impact on him arriving. Is there anything going on? Obviously, we have the Higuain stuff that's just continuing. I don't know if it's really worth even talking about, but anything going on right now that's worrying you, someone you'd wish Roma would bring in or target? I mean, where are you at right now with Roma? They've looked decent in the friendlies. I don't know how much you can actually take away from that, but
my quick thought is, first of all, again, this was a dreadful press conference. The questions. Why do you ask these questions? Why do you go after a player for not organizing the press conferences in Italian? Why? And the great thing Vertu did, he responded to the journalist I shall not name in Italian and said, that is because I don't want to be misinterpreted, misread. That was great. But again, do better, guys. It seems like every press conference, it's just the chance not to get to know the player, the tactics, the way the player feels about the way of playing football of the coach or what. It's not about that. It seems like it's always about stirring something in the pot, and that has to change. Second, you know, I told you last time around that I expected some sort of silence around the Roma market. It seems like after we signed Mancini and Vertu, it sort of quieted down. The Higuain stuff, it's not going forward. Alderweireld, they may raise the price tag. So that's not looking good. I think what's interesting to me right now is, I think our man Filippo Biafora put it out there, or maybe I'm not sure. I've just read so many things, but it seems like Florenzi is part of Fonseca's plans. It seems like Florenzi is at request of the coach, will not leave. Obviously, everything can happen, but one thing I drew from those friendlies we saw recently is that Fonseca does not see Florenzi as a right back. At least right now.
I've been surprised he's been putting him on the left. I mean, he doesn't at all have the qualities of an inverted winger.
At all, yes. But to me, probably one of the few qualities that I can truly see in Florenzi is his off the ball movement going forward, and that is something that made him the special in the years that he was truly special. I don't think people realize, maybe you can go back and watch some clips, just how good he was off the ball. He would get behind the defense. He was really fast. He had a great shot, maybe now not anymore, but he still can give problems if utilized correctly. If that aspect of his game is utilized correctly, that is what I saw in those friendlies. Obviously, those friendlies don't mean much, but we didn't see him play consistently on as right back. So, you know, that gives me hope of not having to, you know, just not dealing with the likes of Florenzi or Karsdorp on that right back position. It makes me question whether Petrachi maybe wants to bring in somebody new on that position. I think that is the biggest takeaway in these recent days.
Listen, I've said, and you and I have discussed him quite a bit on here, Florenzi is going to stay. He cannot stay as a right back. We're wasting our time if that's the case. So I have no issue with him staying. As long as it is not at a right back position, I am absolutely fine with him remaining. On the right wing, left wing, I think he can actually add something. And should Fonseca at some point decide to alter formation a bit, go to a 4-3-3, I think he can add something there as well.
Can I tell you what troubles me right now? Can I tell you something? The idea, the rumors around Edin Dzeko, the fact that he was captain yesterday in that friendly, the fact that there are talks of this whole deal with Inter getting stalled and maybe not reaching a positive end. I don't know how trustworthy it is. Obviously, these things change all the time, but the idea of renewing Dzeko's contract, I can understand it's scary to me, but I can understand. I mean, I'm certain it makes more sense to keep a talented guy like Dzeko than bringing in somebody unproven. I can understand some people even wanting him over bringing in a guy like Higuain, because obviously you're not sure if he's going to be motivated. But after a year of Dzeko doing all the wrong things, displaying terrible professional attitude, displaying no will whatsoever to change, to help the team, getting into locker room fights, getting into it with El Shaarawy, Cristante, embarrassing himself on the biggest stages. I don't know if people remember that game against Porto, at Porto, where he was just obscene. To me, giving a second chance to a guy that had already agreed with Inter by March, was already in cahoots, correct me if I'm wrong, if that is the wrong use of the term, but I think that is what he was, in cahoots with Inter, had a deal already. To me, giving a second chance to that guy and sort of telling him, you are important, you matter to this team, here you go, get yourself the captain's armband, that's a big no-no. And I'm conflicted, because I recognize the talent, but at the same time, I recognize what took place this year.
Completely agree. I would not hand him a renewal at all. The attitude he displayed, listen, it's scary that Roma would even consider handing him a renewal, as you just said, the way he acted this past season. I don't think that, again, sets a good example at all. I don't think it shows respect to the players that have been in that dressing room. So I hope that's not true. I do think he's going to leave. I don't think he's going to remain. I'm just curious to see if they're ultimately able to sway Higuain to accept Roma. But we'll have to wait and see. And lastly, I want to touch on, you brought it up, the questions in the press conferences. Can we... This time, you know, usually I don't like to name
names.
Okay,
bring
it
on.
This time I will. The guy who has vetted to the, he asked, why aren't you speaking Italian? You've been here a few years. It was Sky Sports Mangiante, who, how do you describe this guy while trying to be as respectful as possible?
A walking meme.
Yeah, we'll go with that. We'll go with walking meme. Listen, this guy asks some of the stupidest questions, press conference after press conference after press conference. There's another guy who has me blocked on Twitter, so I don't want to mention his name, but he writes for Corriere dello Sport. And I'm assuming everybody can guess who it is. Please just be better, everybody. Why these stupid questions?
And then the same one. It's not even. It seems like they want the same response. They're not interested in variety and in difference of opinion and what this player thinks of something that has to do with the actual game of football. They want to see, well, how are you going to fill in the shoes of De Rossi? What is your opinion on how Roma handled the De Rossi situation? Or you say you admire Totti, then what is your opinion? You know, this is, if these are the journalists that are supposed to be on the side of the club, man, we are in bad hands.
Listen, Mangiante, in the press conference of Mancini, asked him about De Rossi, and then he asked him, you choose the same number as Marco Materazzi. I mean, what effect does he have on you? I'm like, what? What are you asking him this for? This is stupid. And the one question, listen, I tweeted this out, the one question that I will forever disdain, and people ask it again and again, and again and again in every single press conference, I want to smack whoever asks this. Listen, I go to these things. I go to maybe 5 press conferences per season, if that. But anytime it's for a player, everybody asks, do you consider Roma a point of arrival, or do you consider it more of a stepping stone? I mean, come on. If you want to talk, first off, this question is asked because there is no right answer. It's done so certain journalists can get a headline for the newspaper, okay? If somebody says, oh, I want to stay, it's a trick question. Because you know what? If you say, is Roma a point of arrival? Yes. Okay, well, looks like he's staying here forever. And then if he leaves, he's absolutely villainized.
Yep.
Is Roma a point of arrival? No. Oh, okay, so he's just using Roma as a building block to go to his next move.
And this question has inflicted so much negativity on so many players that had arrived here. I mean, I remember they asked this question to Schick, and Schick was honest about it and said, yes, it's an honor to play for Roma, but at the end of the day, my ultimate dream is to play for the likes of Barcelona and Manchester United. And I remember the next day, there was a whole headline in Corriere dello Sport just condemning this poor kid for having said those words. My dream is to play for clubs that, big secret, are bigger than Roma.
It's a trick question with no right answer. So that's our rant. Questions have got to improve in these press conferences. They're abhorrent, they're stupid, and they do a disservice to everybody, readers included. So hopefully that improves. So we're going to end it here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We enjoyed it. We'll have to do these flop ratings again.
Sure. It's fun and depressing at the same time.
Fun and depressing at the same time, and it adds a little bit of perspective. So we will leave it there, everybody. As always, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, ciao.